Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host, and I'm coming at you from Oceanside, California. We have about 84 degrees. It's sunny, blue skies, and gorgeous, and no chemtrails today. Wonderful. Welcome, yo. Hopefully others are here. If you can hear, please let me know. And I'm going to type in sound and see if she's got it, because we're live. So, boy, we had fun yesterday, too. I was helping engineer the studio for Bill. And we had Martha on, and we had Bill Bio on, and Bill Strong, and it was just amazing. It was super fun. So let's do a little scripture, shall we? Yes, we shall. Just to calm us down, because I have a stack of papers. Wait till you hear this stuff. You will not believe it. Okay. So again, I'm not getting any feedback from Miss Yola. I'm hoping that there's actually sound going out in the chat room and others. She's refreshing, so she's not getting it, but we'll find out in a second. And hopefully others can get in to Blog Talk. This particular reading from scriptures is from the book of 1 Corinthians. Welcome, Mikey B. Great, Yola. Thanks for the sound check. I hope he can hear me as well. Yay. Good, you have sound. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 28. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam shall die, so also in Christ shall be all made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So, kind of cool stuff. It's the promise of the end times and things to come. So I have before me, and I had spoken a tiny bit on this stuff yesterday on Bill's show because I was helping run the studio in lieu of Lonnie being unable to. So welcome, everybody. These are going back a little bit. This was November 21st, and this was in reaction to good old Barry's decree on the immigration nonsense, you know how that goes. And of course, we have our distraction. Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Our distraction called Ferguson, which they go on ad nauseum like they did with all the, you know, searching the Indian Ocean for a plane. Unbelievable. Anyway, so we're going to get into that because I have notes in my email that we will go over what's been going on while we're watching Ferguson burn. Okay. But this one was back on the 21st and talking about King O'Berry's decree on the immigration. It says, now this is mostly pertaining to California because we have, not only do we have Medicare, we have Medi-Cal, which is the California, I mean, the whole thing, this whole state is so doomed. They're going to be bankrupt in a year, I predict. Anyway, it says, new rules could broaden access to health program. The president's immigration order appears to create broader access to Medi-Cal, the state's insurance plan of last resort for low-income, disabled, and disadvantaged residents. Currently, unauthorized immigrants can receive partial Medi-Cal coverage for certain situations, such as pregnancies and emergency hospital care. Gee, that's a surprise. In 2012, full Medi-Cal benefits were granted to people accepted into the federal program DACA, and that's that deferred action nonsense, which grants a temporary exemption from deportation for qualified individuals. Oh, how benevolent. Gabrielle Lessard, health policy attorney for the National Immigration Law Center in Los Angeles, said current rules allow all people with deferred immigration status to receive Medi-Cal as long as they meet the insurance program's other guidelines, which include earning no more than 138% of the federal poverty income limit, which I have not done my homework on that, so I don't know what that is. On Thursday, the California Department of Health Care Services couldn't specify how the president's new immigration plan would affect Medi-Cal. That includes the question of how state officials would obtain more funding to pay for an expansion of Medi-Cal, which is supported by state and federal money already. Until we have carefully reviewed the details of President Barack Obama's action, we are unable to, this is a quote, assess any impact it might have, end quote. That was that agency said in this particular statement. There were about 11 million Medi-Cal beneficiaries as of this summer, and the governor's office, good old Mussolini Brown, said the state will spend an estimated $17 billion. This is just the state of California. Dollars this year to cover its financial obligation to the program, which would be Medi-Cal. Obama's order does not allow the newly exempted unauthorized immigrants to buy insurance from any health exchange created by the Affordable Care Act, which I think that that's not true, and welcome Bill Bio. The law continues to bar applicants who are not U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents. Well, since Mussolini has already decreed that he has welcomed every single person, illegal or otherwise, from Mexico to come here a few months ago, I highly doubt that we will see any relief in the state of California. So here's another one, and let me see this was also, this was the same day on a different page. And this is letters to the editor, so this is an editorial by an individual here. Obama oversteps his authority with this order. Just because something can be done does not mean it should be done. While President Obama may have the power to declare an executive amnesty, which he doesn't have the right to. A change of this magnitude is not reserved for one man, but can only be made through our elected representatives. Obama's decision to grant amnesty to millions of undocumented immigrants is a gross affront to our heritage, our laws, our democratic process, and the American people. And the last sentence is, this will not end well. Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course. And then we have the border problem, which is another story. And I've got, let's see, this particular piece. And this was, I'm trying to go back through, this was November 26th. So that was today's. There's a ton of stuff in here, but I want to get this one story first. Okay, and then we'll go to the next, because there's a couple editorials as well. All righty. Okay, this one is called The Battle Looms Over Housing Rules, and this is our local one. It says, Association suit against Encinitas, it's not too far, that's where I'll be tomorrow for Thanksgiving, alleges that city violated state density law. So they're complaining about the stupid California state rules on this Agenda 21 high-density housing nonsense. So the Building Industry Association of San Diego County is suing the city of Encinitas. And these we've been fighting the BIA for a long time here in Oceanside because they want to pave over everything and do their high-density stuff here. These people are motivated by money, but the ones who are in the state level, et cetera, and, of course, the United Nations and ICLEI are motivated by Agenda 21. That's where this is headed. Anyway, so they're suing the city over recently approved changes to the city development regulations and the battle is expected to move into the courtroom early in 2015. We feel city officials are in violation of state law. We are asking that they adhere to state law. This was Michael Sweeney, the association's senior public policy advisor, said Tuesday as he discussed the lawsuit. Encinitas Mayor Kristen Gaspar said she and other city officials would have no comment on the pending litigation. We've been asked by the city attorney to give no comment at this time, she said on Tuesday. The lawsuit, which was filed last month in Superior Court, alleges that Encinitas began violating the state's density bonus law, which I need to look up. Can you imagine this? The state's density bonus law last summer when the city council decided to place new limitations on housing density. So city council is tired of this stuff and they're trying to put the kibosh on it. The state law was designed to encourage low-income housing construction by granting incentives to developers. Do you see how this works? When you dangle this carrot in front of these clowns for your own evil ends, this is what goes on. In mid-July, the council decided to order city planners to begin rounding down rather than rounding up when calculating how many homes are allowed on a given lot in density bonus projects, because they're stuffing tons of like dwellings or units in these high density projects on very small acreage. This is all pre-planned, believe me. So the lawsuit alleges that change goes against previous city practices and violates state law because it has been applied to projects that were already working their way through. And let's see where the rest of it is. Oh, they were working through the city approval process. The lawsuit seeks to have the courts declare this change and others made at the same time unlawful, unenforceable, and invalid. This building industry group also is seeking attorney's fees and other financial compensation the courts deem just and proper under the circumstances. The Encinitas mayor said Tuesday that the council is contemplating hiring an outside attorney to represent the city in this legal matter, but has not yet reached a decision on that issue. The city's initial court paperwork response to the lawsuit was handled by city attorney Glenn Sabine. In that paperwork filed earlier this month, Sabine wrote, the city denies the allegations in the lawsuit, believes that the industry group could have explored other means than litigation of resolving its concerns, and asks for repayment of the city's attorney's fees if the case goes to in the city's favor. California density bonus law has been the subject of much controversy in Encinitas and other communities in recent years. Under the state law, developers are allowed to put in more housing than might normally be permitted on any given lot if they agree to set aside some of the proposed units for low-income people. This is how they do this. This is how they get this stuff pushed. Supporters say the law creates much-needed housing for needy families that wouldn't be built otherwise. Opponents argue it's been abused by developers, it has, looking for ways to skirt municipal zoning regulations. The state law trumps city regulations, so cities can't block high-density projects that meet development standards. So this is what we're up against. In response, a loose coalition of Encinitas residents opposed to various high-density housing projects in town, particularly in the Desert Rose project proposed for the city's rural Olivenhain area, and Olivenhain has a lot of wealthy people, so hopefully they fight this, have been lobbying the city to rework its standards so that density bonus projects end up containing fewer housing units. The rounding down versus rounding up when dealing with fractions is one such change that could result in slightly fewer homes on a lot. They're not going to win. They're just going to compromise. The city council members approved the change late one night in July, and the mayor said she was worried that the city might be sued. But she also said it was very evident that residents wanted the changes. The council chamber was still crowded, even though the meeting had lasted past midnight. There's community will to make changes to our density bonus policies. I'm willing to honor that will and listen until the point that we may be forced legally to make changes. So that was that mess. So I'm welcoming 812. Who's 812? Oh, is that Bill?
That's me.
Mr. Strong. Hi. I thought that was you. Because I just didn't, I didn't go to the rest of it, realize it, that was you. And welcome to the show, and pre-happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours and all the listeners. It's just, I'm sitting here, fresh smell of pawpaw bread dripping through the house, and I'm thinking, how thankful I am. Thankful to live in a country where I still have a few freedoms left and a few liberties. They haven't been able to gobble them all up yet.
Well, I just want to tell you who's in there. We've got Yola, we've got Mikey B, and we've got Bill Bio, and everybody's saying howdy. So let me get on with this next one. This is these are the letters to the editor from, by certain people, and it's just amazing. I don't know if I had too many libtards in here, but we'll go through it and see what we have. This is on, this one's on opinions on decision in Ferguson Diverge. The person writes, regarding Ferguson fallout, where from here, November 25th, we need to stop focusing our attention overseas and start focusing our attention on the radicals inside our own cities. They have drugs, guns, news networks, and most importantly, they are already here. We have two Americas, one where the people generally behave in a civilized manner and one where the rule of law means nothing. The latter are almost always heavy Democrat Party supporters. Indeed, without these inner city precincts, the Democrat Party would melt away. And it says, whose side are you on? So there was another, the libtard one. I'll go to the next. I've got to give equal time here. As in the case of Rodney King, the Justice Department will intervene. Charge Officer Darren Wilson with violation of Michael Brown's civil rights. Oh, my God. And hopefully Wilson will go to federal prison, but I'm sure for only 2 or 3 years. This is a libtard, as you can tell. We in the civil rights community hope this tragedy will be the beginning of a new civil rights movement, one specifically aimed at eradicating police murder of people of color. Well, first of all, he didn't murder him. It was self-defense, according to the grand jury. So that's another. Well, but these people, they don't. They hear what they want to hear.
97% of gun deaths involving a black person are from another black person.
I know. It says, what specific evidence given by Wilson to the grand jury vindicated 6 shots to Brown's body? Well, this person obviously doesn't read or doesn't listen to people who have other opinions and other reporting. And welcome, Gunslinger. Happy Thanksgiving to the whole lot of y'all. Here we go. We got another editorial that says, healthcare cost hikes are heading our way. I hope you read the article on the proposed San Diego gas and electric rate hike. They seek 7.5% rate for 2016 and immediately contacted your representatives in Washington. The small mention of passing on medical insurance premiums to customers is exactly what is wrong with the Affordable Care Act. There is nothing affordable about this law when I or we have to pay for SDG&E employee premiums. Oh, my God, which I didn't even know. Okay, I've got 214 on the line, too. Welcome, 214, to the show.
Hi, this is Gunslinger, Dallas,
hey.
Texas.
Awesome. How are you?
Oh, pretty good here. Hope y'all have a happy Thanksgiving and everybody else.
Thank you. You too. Yes. I'm cooking. My oven's cooking while we're speaking. So, and three hours last night, I made a homemade pie from scratch, and it's going to be really fun. So I have a bulletproof recipe, so I'm very happy about that. So,
that's good. I'm not sure what
anyway,
the subject is. I just called in.
Well, thank you for joining. This is the healthcare cost hikes are headed our way, and apparently we have, this is mixed in with our other monopolies around here, which is our San Diego Gas and Electric, and the last sentence in this one is, San Diego Gas and Electric was the first, but by no means the last, to pass on these costs. So these are what's been going on here in California, and I just want to, you know, welcome everybody again to the show, and glad you're all joining in. And what say you on this on these editorials, especially with the healthcare costs and these. One of my contentions is the monopolies that were allowed to happen in our cities.
Well, monopolies they're all over the place. This so-called government is just one big monopoly. You know, they play with funny money. You know, not real.
Yep.
You know, they print it like it's on toilet paper. Okay. Obamacare, you know, just like, you know, Piglosi, I like to call her, says, we got to pass the bill to see what's in it. My God.
Yeah. Boy, did we get Grubered.
It's just totally ridiculous. Yeah.
I know. My head explodes when I read this stuff. Like I said, I had gone through every single...
Gruber.
Yeah, that was from Bill. I got to give Bill Strong the credit for that one. He came up with the Grubered one. And he's on the line with us also, Gunslinger. So he's from Indiana. And I know that Mikey B, of course, is in the chat room, and he's also from Dallas. So we're happy to have everybody from all over the country here fighting the good fight. And we recently had a proposition pass and also a concealed carry law pass here in California, which was helping us to more easily apply for concealed carry. And so, of course, these libtards are just, you know, all over the place. So it says, and Proposition 47 was the release of certain criminals emptying the jails out because of the natural bankruptcy of California with unfunded liabilities, et cetera. I mean, my God, it just goes on and on. So this person states Prop 47 is better than the concealed carry law. So regarding prediction, crime wave coming in the editorial, and court rules for concealed carry, I would suggest that the feared crime wave predicted in your editorial regarding the passage of Prop 47 would be a more appropriate concern in the aftermath of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals loosening restrictions on permits for citizens to carry concealed and loaded weapons. I cannot think of a legitimate reason why... You're going to love this. Any San Diego resident other than law enforcement officer or someone who transports large amounts of cash would need to carry a concealed and loaded weapon in public. And the last portion of this is this idiot says, don't we have enough gun violence already? Well, first of all, madam, guns don't do a damn thing. They sit there and collect dust until you take them out and clean them. Oh, my God, this is what I live with.
Can I comment on that?
Go ahead.
Since I'm in Texas, and Texas is one of the most friendliest gun states in the whole nation, I'm surprised they would even let anybody in California even carry a gun. Okay.
Well, let me tell you the caveat with that. I went on after they did this. There was a website for our county sheriff down there, San Diego, and you could go on there and you could see how to apply. Well, when you go to this website, there's just a gazillion things on it, number one. And when you go for a concealed carry permit, whatever, rules and regs, the amount of money you would have to shell out just for all the permits. I mean, there's like three or four of them. Hell, I could go buy a handgun. I mean, it's unbelievable. So this, I mean, well, yeah, if you have a job and get real good money and, you know, you're living in freaking Rancho Santa Fe with the rich ones, sure, you can get one. But people like me, no. I'm not. You know what?
Well, I prefer it here in Indiana where I can go buy a gun at a yard sale.
Thank you. That's why I can hardly wait to get out there.
basically the same way here, at least that we have, we no longer have our governor, Rick Perry. He was voted out, and Greg Abbott was voted in. He's 1,000% pro-gun, okay? And I even heard him saying that as soon as the open carry law hits his desk, he's signing it. So pretty soon Texas is going to have open carry, which we should have been leading the country in open carry, okay? Because, I mean, my God, Texas is a gun state, let me tell you. Everybody.
Oh, sure.
You know, I've got a 357 on right now. I'm wearing it. You know, I put it on like my pants. You know, so no big deal, you know.
Right.
But you're right. You know, a gun, just like my gun that I'm wearing right now, it can't jump out of the holster and shoot somebody. It's an inanimate object, okay? only when used in the proper manner. Now, does criminals use guns in the proper manner? Do you see them out on the gun range? Do you see it? No.
Yeah.
They use it for criminality. Okay. But
they don't worry about no permits.
No, they don't worry about permits, really. Okay. Ask a criminal, does he have a concealed carry permit? He'll laugh at you. Okay. No doubt.
Yeah.
Now, it should be open carry throughout the whole state, the whole country. Your constitution is your permit. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Remember, a license is a permission from your government to do something.
Yes.
Okay. Versus the Constitution, which is a God-given right. You have a right
Precisely.
To carry it.
And,
you know,
and
criminals are not going to go by that. They're going to carry their guns anyway. So,
oh, no. And they're also going to create mayhem if they want to, or are they going to rape and rob, or they're going to murder because they don't.
That's right.
I mean, you know, it doesn't matter because they're lawless, or they wouldn't be called criminals. Hello. It's just the whole argument, and I get that whole thing, especially with the God-given right part. And to add to that, what has happened in this country, they've been so dumbed down, and so many progressive libtards in high power and high offices, et cetera, and also walking around in the street with their PC nonsense and their brainwashing. They absolutely are so stupid. They do not understand that governments do not dole out rights. They are not the ones in charge. God is. But they don't get that. Because, you know, some of these morons have not only not seen the inside of a library, they've probably never seen the inside of a church either, or read the Constitution,
and that's just me. Here's the lowdown on why they just squeal and yell and moan and groan about even the concealed carry so-called license, quote-unquote.
Right.
It's just like here in Texas when they passed the concealed handgun license in 95. I was one of the first in Dallas to get it. Okay.
Cool.
But they claim that, oh, my God, it's going to be another shootout at the OK Corral.
Yeah.
Okay, there's going to be blood in the streets. Let me tell you, did that happen? No.
No.
Actually, crime went down. It's a proven statistic that anywhere that you have concealed carry or open carry constitutionally, okay, crime goes down. Who would you want to rob if you see a person with a gun on? You going to try to rob that dude? Are you crazy?
Exactly. No, that's actually common sense. And you know, I'm not like ready to go back to the old Wild West where everybody had to carry because they were terrified, you know, of the marauders and others. But in a civil society that we supposedly have today outside of places like Detroit and Ferguson, where even in those places, many people are still law-abiding and peaceful. Of course, you get the agitators and the pimpers with the race baiting and the provocateurs going through there to rile people up. You know, it's the old Cloward and Piven thing. Where are the riots in the streets, right? So, I mean, it's a whole different ball game than the 1800s, you know, in the Wild West. It's just a whole different situation. And, you know, if you're going along with your business and you're well-trained and, you absolutely understand what a firearm, you have a healthy respect for what it can do because it's has one purpose, and that's to maim or kill. If you understand it and you know what you're doing, I mean, even in the best of them, the accidents happen. But normally it happens to the person holding it, not to the, you know, unfortunately, if there's ricochets, it's another story. But
there's an ideology behind what they're doing.
Well, yeah, they want to disarm us, but they're not going to.
Right. So that's, they're taking every little step they can to try to do that because they don't know how to do it. And they know to just flat out try to do it will lead to bloodshed in the street.
True. Oh, yeah. I hope they're smart enough to understand that. But some of the people in Capitol Hill, I wonder about their brain cells. Anyway, I was going to move on to these a little tiny bit of Agenda 21 here because we have so much of it here in California in my North County. We had on the election back in November 4th, there was a proposition in Escondido called Prop H, and this was fueled by the absolute green monster, green this, you know, sustainable development nonsense, Agenda 21 crowd. So the voters fortunately saw through it and said no. So they, it says, so this particular letter states, keep up the fight to preserve community. The no on Prop H, all-volunteer campaign victory, reflects the valiant and historic American tradition of citizens standing up for what's right. A truly inspirational grassroots effort to stop powerful special interests from trampling our community values. Though dismissed by many, including the Union Tribune, the paper I'm reading from, as a small group of NIMBYs, you know, the not in my backyard, our motives were not selfish, our motives were selfless. They were derived from a mutual desire to pass on to the next generation a powerful sense of community and pride of ownership. Well, property rights. The voters recognize that and have spoken. They properly noted new neighborhoods have an obligation to respect the historic legacy and values of their adopted community, and that self-serving LA-style concrete jungles aren't welcome in our little corner of paradise. So they fought back against that one. There's another fighting here. It was just a person who was talking about the bicyclists because, you know, we have a new rule here in California. You're going to love this. The new rule is you have to give, when these bicyclists, because they've got bike lanes and everything else, because this they're pushing to get people out of their cars, I'm telling you. This is the green agenda. And they you have to give them, I think it's 2 to 3 feet berth whenever your car is going by. Well, it's ridiculous. So this guy says, losing patience with bicycle enthusiasts. This gentleman writes, I like bicycles. I've had a half dozen in my 70 years, but nowadays the riders are all over the road, 3 and 4 abreast on their racing bikes. Also, they can chit-chat and then glare at you as you pass by, and they feel that you are too close. Ride single file, he's telling them, and stay in the bike lanes. And remember, our gasoline tax dollars paid for all those roads you ride on. There are no bicycle road tax dollars. You owe us. Well, the problem is with these people, I'm glad he said it, is they're very arrogant, and they're all progressive Agenda 21 libtards, and it's enough to make you sick. So they know that they can intimidate people, or they try to. Welcome, Cal, to the chat room. And here's a cute one. I couldn't pass this one up. This was also from Escondido. It says, Obama to hear voices for 2 more years. The day after the elections, President Barack Obama proclaimed he heard the 1/3 of the electorate that actually voted, and he also heard the 2/3 of the electorate that did not vote. Based on his performance on foreign issues, domestic issues, the economy, as well as the IRS and Veterans Affairs scandals, it's no wonder the man hears voices. I just thought that I'd share that with you. Because I actually have some people who get it here in California, which is kind of cool. So what do you guys think about the bike lanes and all the other nonsense and with the Agenda 21?
I live in the country in Indiana. We don't have bike lanes.
Thank God. Oh, yeah, it's crazy here.
Every year on my road, a bunch of bikes at a certain time in the spring, there's a big bike ride out of Bloomington, and they come down our road. And they're usually very respectful about being on the right side of the road and trying not to block traffic or something like that. Well, pretty good at it.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just having a blast with some of these editorials because it's very telling as to how people vote, think, and act and do with our city councils. And this one is talking about, God, what are they, this is the borders, other different things, all these, the sovereignty, securing our sovereignty. It says, it is far past time for Congress to act. The GOP does not merit credit for gaining control of both houses of Congress, but rather it should go to the Democrats who shot themselves in the foot. Notwithstanding, the GOP has the opportunity to move this nation forward, resolving the many issues that have stagnated on the floors of inept politicians. The most critical issues for Congress to secure our sovereignty, are neutralize those Muslims within our borders who seek to overthrow, now I have to disagree with this, it should say republic, but our democracy and impose Islam doctrine, including the Brotherhood cartels and the thousands who desire to commit jihad and replace our quote-unquote democracy with Sharia law. Of course, this person doesn't know we don't live in a democracy. And two, boldly, it will address our national debt of $17 trillion and the off-book unfunded liabilities debt of $115 trillion. So I kind of agree with this person, except they need to learn about the Constitution because we don't have that word democracy anywhere. So let's see. Oh, I guess there was a – I can't remember which – this was a – anyway, so they were talking about the definition of ideology. So, and I think this person was a conservative, but we'll get through this together. It says, no point in trying to open a closed mind. It was interesting and somewhat amusing to read the liberal response to your previous writer advocating punishment for the wrongdoers in the latest Obamacare flap. This was such a whining and moaning reply that I felt we have an ideologue here who should be taken to task. So as a matter of form, I looked up the definition of ideologue in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Quote, an often blindly partisan advocate or adherent to a particular ideology, and used as an example, revolutionaries proved to be impractical ideologues who had no idea about how to run a country, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself, this person writes. There is no point in trying to tell a liberal ideologue the error of his ways, because that is an exercise in futility. The chicanery, lies, and deceit that enveloped the passage and coming implementation of this disastrous medical program is unforgivable and called for strict accountability. These liberal extremists should get their heads screwed on right and realize the ends don't justify such dishonest means and call for stopping it themselves. So those were kind of cool little tidbits from some people who actually get it here in California. So what do you guys say?
You know, they are constantly just one little way or another. Every time you turn around, it's one little prick or another where they're coming at us in every facet of our lives and interfering. I'm flabbergasted that people don't wake up and just mass go crazy because they realize what's happening. And
well, that's what they want us to do. I'm glad we're not.
All the chicanery, all the corruption, all the lies, and all the theft of the taxpayer money to fill somebody else's pocket.
Well, true. However, you know, I mean, some people are waking up. In fact, this was out in Temecula, which tends to be a little bit more conservative. And this lady writes, she says she has harsh words for Obama executive order on immigration. It says, when busloads of migrant children were taken to Murrieta, which is where we protested and stopped it like five times, for processing this summer, protesters raised signs with the message, send them back. Now that President Obama has issued an executive order that includes an allowance for certain unauthorized immigrants to stay in the United States, protesters met him in Las Vegas Friday with another message, deport Obama. Both protests have at least one person or in common. This lady, Patrice, she's the one that's writing this. She organized the Murrieta protest in July after she heard the city might temporarily house the migrants as they were being processed for asylum or deportation. Just as those Central American children became symbols to secure border advocates of an unfettered invasion from the South, what's her name? Patrice became a national face of the anti-immigration movement. She was interviewed and profiled by media across the political spectrum. Thursday, before and after the president spoke, she had harsh words for him. She says, we did not elect a president. We elected a dictator. He needs to let Congress do its job. Lynn's is, that's her last name, retired registered nurse. and longtime Temecula resident. In 2010 and 2012, she ran unsuccessfully for the city council. In both bids, she said she wasn't a career politician. Asked how Obama's executive order could affect her personally, she said, "It's an issue that affects all the American people. Unemployed veterans, America's school children, healthy Americans because of the risk of disease from immigrants, foster children who need our help desperately, job seekers because Americans are out of work looking for jobs, and now they're going to be undercut with a flood of illegal immigrants coming into the country or who are already here being given green cards. Eligible immigrants under the president's plan will not receive green cards, but a different form of temporary deportation reprieve. Congress would be the one to change laws regarding green cards and citizenship." She said, "The president's focus should be on the American people and how to make us better and how to make our country work better again." And I don't think he's looking at that at all. In the past, Patrice has taken it. Go ahead.
What really intrigued me is how is the highest percentage of support from blacks he has. So this guy just recently took the blacks from being 13% of the population down to about 11% with his amnesty. And then you got to figure family reunification is going to take him down to 8% or less. Don't you see what he's doing to you and you're supporting him?
I know. They don't see it because they don't. Come on. I mean, look at the vast majority, and it's not probably completely the fault or the culture of the people. I think it's been systematically done to these folks by the progressive left over the decades. And then the last part of this, in the past, Patrice has taken action when she didn't like the status quo. She ran for office. When she didn't like the buses heading her way, she protested. Now that the United States is temporarily welcoming the people she hoped to expel, what will she do? Right now, she says, "I'm taking one day at a time." So just, you know, there are people fighting here, and I've got, you know, more than one. So thank God for folks like that one. So go ahead.
You know,
guys,
when does it stop?
I
see, the family reunification thing and within itself will wipe us out, where this will be a total, will be the third world poverty country that all these other people are supposedly fleeing. We're going to be it.
Oh, that's what they want.
That's what their plans is.
Oh, yeah, that's what Barry wants to do. He wants to turn this whole place to look and resemble Rwanda. I mean, please.
Well, let's
get real.
What I don't understand is why more Americans haven't woke up and understood it.
Well, I think they are, but I think the black community is slow on the uptake because they live in ghettos, most of them, in these big cities or inner cities. Now, when you go back into time and you look at how this happened, which party is responsible for this, Bill and Gunny? This is the Democrat Party right down the line. Let's go back to the Martin Luther King days. Martin Luther King was a registered Republican. Lyndon Johnson, back in 63, they took God out of the school in the public square. Lyndon Baines Johnson, the schmuck that he was, he's probably roasting right now, got the nanny state going even more so than FDR, whom I also hate, with all of these programs. And Carter kind of wrapped it all up and, you know, threw us away. So now here we are with the Planned Parenthood, the welfare state, rewarding people for having children out of wedlock, okay? Rewarding them for not allowing a man inside the house so you can get that freebie money, okay? And then you have a 80 to 90-year-old progressive nonsense of dumbing people down in the universities and all the schools, including high schools, way back when. So you have a perfect storm for all of this craziness, like Detroit, Chicago, all these cities, all this stuff. These poor people have been used and abused.
You can go on and look on YouTube, and I don't know if you like or dislike Alex Jones. It really doesn't matter. But he has sent some of his reporters out. He's in Austin, Texas, which is the capital of Texas here. And he has sent some of his reporters out to the local universities down there, okay? And just merely asking the students there, and these are supposed to be future leaders, you know, accountants, maybe even politicians and stuff like that, can you name the Bill of Rights? And 9 out of 10 couldn't name one or two of them.
I know. They're not taught.
Can you believe it? Can
you
believe
I do.
That?
Oh, yeah. Water world, and I'm amazed. At they were a villain for Harvard. And I was amazed at what had done that.
Well, there's even another guy out in, you said he was in California. You've probably heard of him, Mark Dice.
Mark Dice,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. he's funny, but, you know. But he does have a point. He has even done the same thing. He went out on the beach there somewhere, because I've never been to California.
On the pier.
Have these people sign these petitions for crazy things. Let's get rid of the Bill of Rights.
Yes, I have. I've seen all of them. That place where he goes is 8-minute drive from my house. I'm very close to the beach. I'm in Oceanside. Okay. Yeah, it's in Oceanside when he does this in the summertime. So I got to make sure I get down there on the weekends next time I'm thinking about it when he gets down there. I can hardly wait to hang out with him, and I'll just say, I'll laugh in his face. I'll have a blast. I'm like, whether he edits it out or not, I don't know. But of course, we'll come to be seen. I'd love to be on camera for that. That would be awesome. I've seen it where they actually want to repeal the Third Amendment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's keep that
quiet. They
want to
repeal the Second Amendment.
Well, the third's bad enough. I mean, let's not give Capitol Hill any more damn ideas, the Schmendrix. I'm surprised that they, you know. Well, no, they probably have to leave that alone for the time being until they get the gulags all ready to go for us. Oh, I get so – it's like, oh, my God. It's what we live under with this next article. I got to get this one in, and then I'll save the rest for next time I'm on. Talk about fascism. When you – the actual federal government with the FDA – we talked a little bit, Bill, on your show yesterday about this – the new FDA rules will mandate, listen to this, mandate, I didn't see Congress pass any laws, but see these agencies like the EPA and this one, they are out of control and they need to be defunded and then promptly abolished. And everybody of those people who work there need to go to the unemployment lines, as far as I'm concerned. They want to mandate calorie counts on the menu, and this goes further than just fast food. This is ridiculous. In Washington, capital, counting your calories will become easier under new government rules requiring chain restaurants, supermarkets. Get this. Now, how much is this going to cost the consumer? Convenience stores and even more movie theaters, amusement parks, and vending machines to post the calorie content of food clearly and conspicuously on their menus. The long-delayed rules announced today by the Food and Drug Administration apply to businesses with 20 or more locations and give them until November 2015 to comply, a year from now. The idea is that people may give a pass on that bacon double cheeseburger at a chain restaurant, hot dog at a gas station, or large popcorn at the movie theater if they know that it has hundreds of calories. Are you kidding me? If I like it and I want it, well, they're trying to control the hell out of you. This is fascism.
What gets me is these same people refuse to label GMO.
I know. Well, that's another whole story. I get that, and they don't talk about chemtrails either. But the next city council meeting, I told you yesterday, they'll hear about it from me, complete with pictures. I'm going to do a tiny bit. I've got a couple minutes left, so I want to finish this. Beverages are included, and alcohol will be labeled if drinks are listed on the menu. Jesus. Americans eat and drink about one-third of their calories away from home, and people today expect clear information about the products they consume, said FDA Commissioner Margaret Hamburg. She said the effort is just one way that Americans can combat obesity. Well, bully for you, lady. I wish you were out of a job. The menus and menu boards will tell diners that a 2,000 calorie diet is used at the basis for daily nutrition. If I ate 200 or 2,000 calories a day, I wouldn't fit through my front door. Okay. But like I said, it's none of their freaking business. Noting that individual calories needs may vary. Really? But they want us in the Borg collective. Rats. Additional nutritional information beyond calories, including sodium, fat, sugar, and other items, must be available upon request. The rules deals a blow to the grocery and convenience store industries, which have lobbied hard to completely be exempt from this since the menu labels became law in 2010 as a part of this health overall. This is ACA. Even before the new rules were announced, Republicans in Congress had expressed concern that they would be too burdensome for businesses. Oh, really? Thanks, Grab Obama's Penis Party. And that's a hat tip to Mikey B. He came up with that one. I would never forget you, Mikey B. I'm giving credit. The law came together when the restaurant industry agreed to the labeling in an effort to dodge, get this, a growing patchwork of city and state rules, but supermarkets, convenience stores, and many other retailers that sell prepared foods say they wanted no part of it. The restaurant industry pushed to include those outlets as they have increasingly offered restaurant-like service. The FDA-issued proposed rules 2011 included supermarkets and convenience stores, but excluded movie theaters. The final rules being released today include all of them. The restaurant industry, along with nutrition and consumer advocates, has said that any business that sells prepared foods should be included. If a rotisserie chicken is labeled with a calorie count at a takeout restaurant, it should be labeled at a grocery store, they argued. These people are nuts. Representatives for this supermarket industry have said it could cost them, listen to this, the representatives for the supermarket industry have said it could cost them up to $1 billion to put the rules in place, costs that would be passed on to the consumers. They said the rules could cover thousands of items in each store, unlike restaurants, which typically have fewer things on the menus. So, like I said before, this is all tied to this.
What are they going to do with someone like me that gets all his, most of his food from his own way?
Well, I don't know. But here's the thing. This fascism comes from the ACA. This is Obamacare. This is all tied to socialism. This is tied to Medicare. This is tied to when the government gets involved in the what should be a private sector, free market situation. This is the results. That means that
the
taxpayers.
The price of food gets so high you can't afford it, and then you got to have the government's help to get food, then they control you. When you control the food and the water, you control the people. And with the EPA going after the water and the FDA going after the food, exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, this is part of it, but the other part of it is, the question should be, why is one person down the street responsible for anybody else's health concerns and what they eat and how fat they are or how much their health care costs are? This should not be. This should be verboten. I'm sorry, but this should not be. In a truly free market, which we haven't seen for God knows how long, this would not exist. That's my point. And the monopolies, too. BS.
I'm thinking, how many fat people do you see in the Senate and Congress?
They're so crazy. Welcome, guest 2501.
How many people who work at the EPA are fat?
Well, on your dime, but it doesn't matter. I don't care.
I can guarantee you that not everybody who works at the EPA is in some kind of weight thing I about guarantee you they're not.
You know, Bill, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they become 400 pounds. It's none of my business. Nobody should be able to tell us, you know, and put these calories up in front of us. I think people should start protesting. I mean, I'm about ready to get some T-shirts and go into these places and say, if you're going to put this, and they're going to do it, they're going to put this garbage thing, I'm going to go, you know what? It's like, well, you can't afford to go into a high-end restaurant where there's just one or two of them and they're not a giant chain. You know, I'd love to, but hey.
This is where we should push back and say, okay, we want the growth hormones that are used in GMOs listed.
Yeah, Yeah, that's another point of contention. Absolutely. Because what do you say, Gunslinger? I got about 5 minutes.
Here's your cause. That and the lack of activity by the American public, where they've all become couch potatoes and they don't get out and do things anymore.
Okay, look, I don't care what they do, Bill. I don't want to have these people forced into gymnasiums. That's another form of fascism. Let them do it. I don't care. That's an individual choice. This is the problem in this country. Everybody's got their, you know, hands in the pie, and everybody says, oh, you have to do this, and I'm going to force you as a neighbor to do this. It's ridiculous. And Gunslinger, you know, I want to go ahead.
It's a free country. Okay, you can be stupid. Okay, you can be stupid. You can be stupid in a free country. It's just like that dude in Ferguson. It's free country. He decided that he was going to have an altercation with the cop, and that stupid decision cost him his life.
Yep,
that's what it boiled down to. I'm sorry, the truth hurts, but that's the way it is. Yeah,
I know. You know, I mean, when you look at this, and they took 3 months looking at the evidence. I mean, they had an impartial panel. Everything was done according to what we're hearing by the book. So, I you know, if it does not have the right to defend his life, how many people are not going to sign up for that duty? I wouldn't.
Well, even if it wasn't a cop, I say it was me or you.
That's
you know,
right.
We would do the same thing. We would do
damn
the
right.
same thing, whether
got
we're
it.
Having a badge on. I have law enforcement experience. It doesn't matter whether you got a uniform on. If somebody is attacking you, you got a right to defend yourself. Plain simple.
Okay, I got 4 minutes left, and I'm so glad you guys were here. I hope you enjoyed, Gunn, to see what we have going on in California and the rest of the nation and what we fight here,
right.
How much libtardness and the green agenda and all that. It's crazy. it's an upside down world. And I just want to, let's go down the line. Let Bill Strong go ahead and give your parting thoughts.
I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. And after that, we got to get to work, folks, because the worst is still coming at us. They're going to try to push everything through this last 2 years that they can. You're going to see a lot more executive orders, I'm guaranteeing you.
Yep.
So
no, he's not done. Oh, no.
We got to push and keep get out there and inform as many people as we can. Wish God's blessings and the happiest of holidays to everyone.
Thank you, Bill, and everybody in your clan back there. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless. And Gunslinger, go.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, it is. Happy Thanksgiving to everything. And
yeah.
Hopefully the things in Ferguson and throughout the country will settle down. You know,
yes, we've
like
got
I
to
said,
pray
people,
for the...
People just can't take the truth. I'm sorry. That's just, it is what
I
it
know.
Is. Okay?
I know. It's a reality thing. And I want to
sure.
thank you for tuning in as well, and Bill, and Bill
sure.
Bio, and Mikey B, and Yola, and everybody else. And you guys have a great one. I'll see you next week. And also, Mikey B does his shows on, well, I don't know if you're going to do anything on Thursday because I'm going to be working out. I won't be anywhere near a computer. So you guys have a blessed evening. Thanks. And I'll just play a little bit of Keep the Change. And that was kind of a fun one, too. You guys have a great one. God bless.
I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country should hail the
good night, guys. Love you. Be blessed.
We know
have a great
we
one.
Need. We know who to blame. United Social...
Good night, guys.